Our lesson this morning is titled, Soft as the Voice of an Angel. Is an angel's voice soft? We like to think so. The notion comforts us, yet angels speak for God, and there have been times, as we read in the Bible, in God's Word, that the voice of an angel has been quite stern. As pertains to our lesson this morning, the angel's message is soft and comforting, as soft and comforting as we imagine it to be. As God shifts our focus from the problems and stress of this life to a home forever with Him in heaven, it's the voice and message of hope. The hymn Whispering Hope goes, soft. Soft is the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard. Hope with a gentle persuasion whispers her comforting word. Hope gently calls to us, reminding us of better things, quietly calling our attention to things that have lasting value. Hope comforts us like a loving whisper in our ear. There was a movie that came out a number of years ago. Harrison Ford played a cocky bush pilot, ferrying passengers about in a tropical island setting. On one flight, carrying a single passenger, he ran into a sudden storm, got blown off course, and crash-landed. He was so sure they would be rescued. But then, one thing after another went wrong. The last straw, the straw that broke the camel's back, was the dismal discovery that they were lost at an uncharted island and that the chances of being rescued were near zero. His bravado image was rapidly evaporating, and not wishing for his passenger to see him totally lose it and make her afraid, he went into a clump of tall grass, and out of sight, he yelled and screamed and thrashed. And then he popped back out and said, "There, I'm better now." Quite often, our own lives are a lot like that, especially now in this interminable pandemic. We put on our happy faces. We starch our stiff upper lips. We talk only about superficial things, only about things we feel we can control. All the while, we keep the messy, fearful things behind a curtain where we can't see them or think about them. And then, without warning, something puts a rip in that curtain. It's a very thin and delicate curtain, you know. And we remember people are dying all over the world. We remember the sick, the jobless, the devastated. Even if it hasn't touched us directly, it's there. We are living with it, and it overwhelms us. And from a place deep within ourselves, we lose it. Sometimes privately, sometimes not so much. Stress brings out the best in some, and stress brings out the worst in some. And I'm not so sure it's a random thing. Problems have a way of stripping away that facade we put in place that allows us to live normal lives. Stressful situations, like the one we've lived with for 10 months now, cause a person's true heart to show. The best usually springs from good hearts. The worst usually springs from hard hearts. What do you and I look like when we lose it? What kind of heart does God want us to develop and nurture? It should be easy to see why He wants us to allow Him to mold us in the image of His Son, shouldn't it? The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:22, "Love one another fervently, with a pure heart." Okay, so when the thin veneer of normalcy gets ripped and torn away by worry and stress, let's pause ourselves and give hope a chance to peek through. Let's let hope in. Let's let hope stay in. I say the latter because we too often, we allow hope to slip back behind the curtain along with all the other stuff we sweep back there trying to deal with life. Let's act like mature Christians. Why not let hope have the upper hand in our lives? Let's allow it to sweep away our fears. Let's give it a chance to bring out the goodness of pure hearts and sincere hearts. Consider this passage from Job, Job 11:13 through 19. If you devote your heart to God and stretch out your hands to Him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters that have flowed on by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. Let me read that once again. That's so beautiful. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid because there is hope. I realize the fears and trouble of life keep trying to escape from behind the curtain and grab us. But hope wants out too. She's trying. But she's softer and quieter, and we don't hear her above the noise. She whispers, and we must tune our ears to hear her. If a dad or mom can tune their ears to hear their own child above all the other noises in the room, if you or I can reliably and repeatedly spot the things we're interested in out of all the advertising thrown at us, then we can certainly tune ourselves to recognize and heed the whisper of hope and shut out all that doesn't matter. Hope is gently persuading us to aspire to the good things in this life and in the life to come. She's focusing us on God in heaven. She's comforting us. The troubles that shout for our attention are far, far less important than the hope that whispers in our ears. The rest of the first verse of the hymn, Whispering Hope, goes, "Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow after the shower is gone." There are many blessed times ahead of us in this life. Not only will we have blessed times in this life, we have the promise of life eternal with God in heaven. Hope gets us through the rough spots. Hope assures us that better times are ahead. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, the Apostle Paul ties patience together with hope. Patience and hope, hand in hand. Waiting through the hard times, lovingly patient, is possible because of the hope that lies within us. This is true of navigating the trials in this life, and especially true of navigating life itself to reach heaven, as Paul tells Titus in Titus 2:13. The second verse of the hymn, Whispering Hope, goes, "If in the dusk of the twilight, dim be the region afar, will not the deepening darkness brighten the glimmering star? Then when the night is upon us, why should the heart sink away? When the dark midnight is over, watch for the breaking of day." When the night is upon us, why should the heart sink away? Why should it? Life contains far more good than bad, especially if you put God first in your life. The bad stuff just gets more press, more attention, and we focus on it too much. There are always better times coming, especially in the life to come. We see this life as the be-all and end-all of our existence. But recall how James reminds us that compared to forever, our lives are no more lasting than a puff of steam. Let's let the third verse of the hymn, Whispering Hope, focus our minds and hearts on things spiritual. The words go, "Hope is an anchor so steadfast, rends the dark veil for the soul, whither the master has entered, robbing the grave of its goal." It's sad to think that some have little thought of where they'll spend eternity. The grave need not be the final chapter of one's existence. It can be the door to the next life, rather than a dead end. In Luke 23:45, we read of Jesus' final moments as he was being crucified. "Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last. Right before he died, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. In Jerusalem, the veil of the temple separated the holy place, which is a representation of the church, from the Holy of Holies, which is a representation of heaven. The tearing of the veil is symbolic of the removal of the barrier between living as a Christian in this life and going to heaven in the next. Jesus opened the way to heaven. He showed us the way. Because his blood paid the price for our sins, because he was raised from the dead never again to die, because he went back to heaven to prepare a place for us, we have hope. We have a blessed hope. Hope anchors our soul. It keeps it secure. Hebrews 6, 18 through 20 reads, "Because it is impossible for God to lie, we have strong consolation. We who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul. It's both sure and steadfast, and it enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner, Jesus, has entered for us." Because Jesus died, rose, and entered heaven, 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, "Death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting?" Jesus has risen. We can follow. There is hope. Can you hear her whispering? The third verse of the hymn concludes, "Come then, O come, glad fruition. Come to my sad, weary heart. Come, O thou blessed hope of glory. Never, O never depart." When you think of all the things we welcome into our lives, you've got to ask, how many are worthwhile, really worthwhile in the grand scheme of things? The hymn's refrain goes, "Whispering hope, oh, how welcome thy voice, making my heart in its sorrow rejoice. Whispering hope, oh, how welcome thy voice, making my heart in its sorrow rejoice." Let's talk a bit about the hope that's eternal in nature. Eternal. In Romans 5, 2 through 6, Paul writes, "We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." That's the same as saying, we rejoice in the hope of being at home with God. We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. This hope does not disappoint. Christ died so that we could be clean enough to dwell forever in the presence of God. This is the culmination of our hope, the fruition. As the hymn goes, "Come then, O come, glad fruition. Come, O thou blessed hope of glory. Never, O never depart." The fruition of hope when faith becomes sight just doesn't happen automatically. God and his Son have done what we might call the heavy lifting. They have made tons of preparations. They have offered the invitation. But there are responsibilities on our end of things. There are conditions we must meet. About a year or so ago, we had a gentleman who had begun to meet with us. He, however, was somewhat of a health risk, hygiene-wise, in the building, and it was getting worse over time. He was welcome, but we had to ask him to meet some minimal requirements regarding his cleanliness before coming inside. When we met him at the door one evening and asked him to address some issues, he got mad and stormed off. He was happy to meet with us as long as there were no requirements, but we had a building, it was warm and clean, it was safe from a hygiene standpoint for our children and elderly, and he was welcome, entirely welcome, as long as he was clean enough so as not to present a health hazard. The application is that God and Christ have done everything possible on their end, as it were, to make us clean enough spiritually to live in heaven. We're more than welcome. We just need to clean up and stay clean. Some say, okay, tell me what I've got to do to get to heaven. Some get mad and storm off. Some don't even realize there's a heaven to go to. Some aren't aware that God has spiritual health standards. Consider this. You've done this, right? You're watching a TV show and you recognize an actor or actress. You stop the show, you put it on pause, you interrupt the flow, and you spend 10 minutes researching, Googling, where did I see them last? What shows were they in? What do they look like? What do they look like now? Oh no, they're old. I'm glad I didn't get old. And then you start the show again. So now, you yourself personally, you want to see a mom or a dad or a father or a mother or son or daughter again someday after death. But do you have the same level of curiosity to find out how to be with them? The same level you displayed when Googling an actor? People spend considerable amounts of time at the drop of a hat researching some TV show, but how many are willing to crack open the Bible to find out how to see their loved ones again? And those who do so, do they say okay when they see God's answer, or do they storm off? On the word of a few unvetted enthusiasts, a person embarks on a fad diet, swearing it's the best thing since sliced bread. If it's new and innovative, it's got to be good. Yet how many are willing to let the Creator advise them regarding living and getting to heaven? The God who created them and created the food they're using in their latest diet of the week. I personally have always wondered why so many people seem to be afraid of what they might find in the Bible. They might have hundreds and hundreds of books in their real or virtual library, all sorts of fact and fiction, all sorts of self-help, all sorts of philosophies, but ask them what the Bible says and they get edgy. I'd understand if they were neutral, but hostile, to the point where they refuse to even consider God's word, to the point where they are adverse to sharing it with friends and parents and children, not even letting them have the opportunity to figure it out for themselves, like it were a recipe for death instead of life, like it were a recipe for death instead of eternal life. I don't get it. I really don't. But that's me. You don't have to agree with my conclusions and choices, but to not even look over the Bible before rejecting it out of hand? That's just me, but I don't understand it. Let's bring this lesson to a conclusion. There is a God in heaven who sacrificed his Son so that we could have hope beyond the grave. This blessed hope is whispering in your ear. It's whispering in my ear. Soft as the voice of an angel. Listen to her. Let's conclude our lesson with the invitation of Christ. What will you do with God's love and his Son? Will you return it? If you're not a Christian with the incredible hope of eternal life, won't you repent and be baptized and rise up to walk in newness of life, your sins forgiven? If you are a Christian already and have fallen back into the world, won't you repent and pray to God for forgiveness? Either way, if you allow it, if you're willing to accept the conditions to make yourself clean and to keep yourself clean, if you allow it, the blood of Jesus will make you whole. God and Christ have seen to that. Thank you, everybody, for your kind attention this morning. I appreciate it.